So the goal of steganography is to transmit a message from A to B without being noticed. Yeah? So the goal of steganography is to transmit a message from A to B. So A is oftentimes referred to as Alice, like in this cryptographic literature. To B, B is Bob. Without being noticed by a powerful warden, and the name of that warden is Wendy. So why warden? There's this prisoner's analogy, like A and B sit in a prison cell, both. And like they can do in their cell what they want, but they actually need to coordinate their prison break. So they send messages to each other. And between these cells, there's this Wendy, and she's looking at everything that goes in and out, and she's really thorough. Yeah. And she's backed by a nation state or so with infinite resources to look through everything. Yeah. So the question is, okay, like how can Alice and Bob get some covert communication going? Like they may exchange stuff, you know, like magazines and so on. That's all no problem, but they may not exchange their flight plans. No? And so how can they transmit these flight plans by within cover material? And what is stick analysis? Stick analysis, that is what Wendy is doing, no? So the goal of stick analysis is to tell whether a communication process contains a concealed message. So steganographic message. So if you wonder where these words come from, that's Greek. Steganos is secret, and graphein is writing. And analysis, okay, it's like this analysis, okay, no? So, can write this down if you like. Steganos is secret, or covert, or hidden. Graphein is to write. Yeah. So you can imagine it's a topic that was always interesting to people, but particularly like in a setting where there are really like powers clashing onto each other. So for private businesses or so, it's not so much of a deal, because you need to have an adversary that is powerful enough to make this problem interesting. Yeah, if you don't have a powerful adversary, it's boring. No? Okay. So this means, so what can Wendy be? Wendy can be, for example, an army besieging a city and you like to get messages out or so. No? In that context, there are old guides, also tactical books from like 2000 years old, like how to get messages out of besieged cities, because that was an important problem. No? So relevant problem. there's a very famous story, let me tell you that really quickly, around a slave, the name is Histias. So he got his head shaven, then got the message written on skull or on head skin, whatever, on bare head. And because you have time, let hair grow. Travel to communication partner and shave. Mission accomplished. And that is from, so Herodot wrote about this Greek historian. So it's an old story, and it's from the Persian Wars. And then, like, throughout history, like, tricks of this kind were applied all the time. Yeah. And then with a technical process, also methods became more sophisticated. You know? Like, for example, a more recent example that probably also is a little bit better applicable. About 100 years ago, like in the time of World War I, a common Stego approach was to photographically shrink a message, a written message, until it could be, I don't know how, maybe glued or so. Actually, I don't know how this is technically done, but let's say glued onto a comma or period into a magazine. So you have the magazine as cover material, like someone traveling, da-da-dum. It looks super innocent, no? But then there's like a very special letter in that magazine that contains like a microscopic concealed message. Yeah. And you can imagine it's pretty secure. I mean, it's super secure as long as the opposing party doesn't know what letter to look at. No? And that is actually a little bit the problem. So these schemes are all security by obscurity. which is generally, I mean, it's okay if you don't have anything else, but it's anyways, it's a problem. Yeah. So these two examples, are, however, security by obscurity. They can be directly broken or uncovered, let's say uncovered, we're talking about steganography, if the opponent knows the steganographic technique, steganographic or protocol. Right. You probably heard that already at some point. Security by obscurity, does that ring a bell? Yeah, okay, good. So of course the more modern approach is to say, okay, let's devise a scheme that is open, that is known to the public. Independent statisticians or so can check the scheme. And the only difference between being able to recover a steganographic message or being able to tell whether a message contains something steganographic is in whether we possess a secret key or not. Yeah. So the only thing that we need to protect is a secret key, and everything else is publicly known. So that is what we would like to achieve. Yeah. So therefore, or thus, like in all other security related fields, we would prefer a method that is publicly known and independently verified, and our own secret is reduced to a secret key or to owning a secret key. So that is the type of algorithm or method or so that we are looking for. There's my clock. So let's really quickly sketch a schematic view of a steganographic system that is like analogously to our watermarking scheme. Oh, sorry. Maybe I should give you a literature reference here. Should have done this earlier. So we are loosely following the book. Information hiding. Techniques for steganography and digital watermarking. Stefan Katzenbeißer. He's pretty good. He's a professor in a city where the name starts with D. I forgot the name. But he's been in the business for a long time. And he's a really smart guy. Stefan Katzenbeißer and Petit Kuller. And I think actually it's an old book. It's like from 2001 or so. But it's fine. I mean, we're looking at the principal workings of things. Artech House, sorry. Okay. Good. So a schematic view of that steganographic system, yeah? So we have Alice. So Alice has a lot of covers C, like the magazines or something. Some cover documents. Then Alice also has a message M. So something, hi Bob. And they are somehow put together with some randomness factor, potentially, to form an stego object S. Looks like the cover. And then, so this is the prison cell by Alice. And then it travels to the prison cell by Bob. But there is Wendy here in the middle. And as we said, she's really powerful. Like, she can do a lot of things. And depending on what you permit to Wendy, she may even recode the data or so. But she definitely has all the resources to analyze the data that she needs. So, and then Bob decodes the message. Hi, Bob. Okay, and there's one component missing here. We said we need a scheme where we, like essentially where we have that is based on cryptographic keys, yeah? So, so what Alice and Bob have to have agreed about in advance or somehow have to figure out by common sense or so, that is what key to use. So in other words, they share a key generation facility. Or differently expressed, they don't need to talk to each other in order to know what key they should be using. Yeah, something like this. Yeah. And there are a lot of possibilities to make this happen. Yes.
What does the V stand for?
Oh, that's an arrow showing like how disruptive Wendy can be. So Wendy has to let all communication pass through that is innocent, but she may apply distortions that do not change the content too much, no? Like a recompression, that's okay, no? But if the content looks innocent, she has to let it pass through. Okay, so that is the overall scheme, and we can, like next week, we start a little bit, get a little bit more formal to get things going, and then so we think about what conditions this embedding, the message and the covers have to satisfy such that Wendy is not able to interfere here. Or conversely, under what conditions Wendy suddenly has good chances to detect that there is a covert communication going on. Okay, good. Then thank you.